Hey, hey, everyone. It's Mike Wobshaw and producer Nate Vaughn. It's another edition of the Wobcast. Thanks for checking us out. We're coming to you right now from TCO Studios at Winter Park, just a couple of days in front of a big game for your Minnesota Vikings. They're taking on the Dallas Cowboys on Thursday night at US Bank Stadium. It's color rush night for both teams. More about that in a bit, and more about this Vikings-Cowboys matchup in a bit as we look forward to some of the storylines that will happen in this game. Also later on, three threats, player we should be talking about, some fan mail, lots of good stuff coming up. Question of the week, which is a good one. Lots of fun coming up. But first, I want to tell you about something that you can take advantage of. You might be taking advantage of it kind of right now if you're listening to this Wobcast on the Vikings app. If you go to a game, use your Vikings app. Because if you go to a Vikings home game this season, scan your tickets on the Vikings app for a chance to win big. All you have to do is link your tickets on the app and scan it in at the entry gates. If you do that, you could win tickets to Super Bowl 52 at US Bank Stadium. You could win 2017 Vikings season tickets, or you could win weekly autographed prizes from some of your favorite players. Visit Vikings.com for more information or download the Vikings app available for iPhone or Android. I'm guessing a lot of you have already downloaded the Vikings app. That's how you're listening to the Wobcast. So if you've already done that, you're more than halfway there. If you go to a Vikings game, use the app to get in and you can win some of these great prizes. Your first opportunity to do that will come on Thursday night when the Vikings host the Dallas Cowboys. Nate and I have some talking points for you that we're going to go over right now. But first, Nate, this is the NFC's elite, the 10-1 Dallas Cowboys coming to our house. Kind of a cool game.
It is a cool game. Big spot Thursday night. Color rush, which is fun.
Yes.
The Vikings hadn't taken part in to this point, so it'll be cool to see those all purple and gold unis.
Yeah.
And yeah, one of, if not the best team in the NFL coming to town. So definitely a big challenge, a big spot, a good opportunity to show what they can do.
The Cowboys lost in week one, and they have not lost since.
It's a long time ago.
Yes, that's very good. And so, yeah, you mentioned the color rush. Let's talk about that right off the bat as one of our weekly recap / talking points items. Color rush. Your Vikings are going to be wearing stylistically sound, gaudy, but good-looking, flashy, purple-on-purple uniforms. Purple pants, purple jerseys with gold lettering and numbering. It's pretty cool. If you haven't seen them, just go to Vikings.com or the Vikings app. Check out a photo gallery that you'll find there with photos of the Vikings color rush uniforms. Pretty cool. As Kyle Rudolph said earlier in the week on a taping of Vikings game plan, not every team won in terms of how their color rush jerseys look, but the Vikings are a team that won with their color rush jerseys. Very cool. I do think fans will like them. The Cowboys will be wearing their color rush as well. White pants, white jerseys with the navy blue sleeves. So not that different from what we've seen from the Cowboys in the past, but the white pants are different for them. So they'll be they'll be shiny and bright and white. Your Vikings will be purple on purple, and it should be pretty cool contrast between the two teams. So that'll be neat. The game is on a Thursday night, so it's the old Thursday to Thursday back-to-backer, Nate. We love that one, right?
Mm-hmm.
The oldest trick in the book, Thursday to Thursday.
This was a weird week.
Yes, it was a weird week. It was, Monday like a Wednesday, Tuesday like a Thursday, Wednesday like a Friday. I mean, so many different things going on different days. Mike Zimmer had availability, on a Tuesday, the same availability he normally has on a Friday. His normal availability, like it is on a Wednesday, happened on Monday. So all sorts of weird things. We've had two injury reports, not three, even though we're still 2 days in front of the game. Everyone's very confused about what I just said, but that is a glimpse of what's going on. When you have a Thursday to Thursday game, things get pretty funky. Now, a weird scheduling quirk for your Vikings, Nate. Aside from the Denver Broncos, who hosted the opening game of the season, Thursday night football, where their opponent, the Carolina Panthers, had the whole offseason to get ready. Aside from that, the Vikings are the only Thursday night host whose opponent will have a whole week to get ready and prepare for that Thursday game.
Oh,
usually when you host a Thursday game, your opponent is traveling to you on a short week
yeah.
with like 1 day of practice. The Vikings, for the game that they get to host on Thursday, they don't get that advantage. Their opponent, the Dallas Cowboys, they've had an entire week to get ready because the Cowboys, just as the Vikings did, played on Thanksgiving. So an advantage that every team that hosted a Thursday night game this year got, except for the Vikings. So that's not very cool. We don't like that. More on Thursday night football coming up later in the Wobcast. More injuries, Nate. We lost two offensive linemen in our loss to the Detroit Lions. Joe Berger to a concussion, who as of Tuesday afternoon when we are taping the Wobcast has not been cleared to return to practice, and Jeremiah Searles with the hip, who is missing some practice time, but we're hopeful that he can play. Sam Bradford appeared on the injury report with an ankle injury, but I'm optimistic that he'll be able to play. We'll find out later in the week. When you look at the injury report in its entirety, it's Joe Berger, Marcus Sherrills, Harrison Smith, Captain Munnerlyn, Sharif Floyd, Chad Greenway, Stephon Diggs, Eric Kendricks. All of these players, for one reason or another, have missed some practice time. So it's definitely the grind of the season. The Vikings injury report is full, so they got to try and find a way to overcome that. I think one of the bigger talking points or storylines this week coming off the loss to the Detroit Lions was the Vikings and the downfield passing game. People were frustrated that the Vikings weren't able to push the ball down the field with deeper routes, and they want that to change. So that'll be something that everyone is keeping an eye on Thursday night. I thought Vikings quarterback Sam Bradford had some interesting quotes about this topic earlier in the week. Here's what Sam said.
Yeah, I think... you know, we've got to find a way, you know, to create more explosive plays. You know, whether that's mixing in, you know, some more of our play action game, which, you know, we've kind of got away from, you know, and trying to, you know, create some of those plays, you know, with some deeper route concepts, you know, that's one way. But, you know, however we do it, we've just got to figure out a way to make sure that it happens. You know, if you just look at our game plan last week, though, you know, we just didn't really have a lot of shots down the field. You know, I think schematically that was just kind of how, you know, we decided to attack them. But, you know, I think after last week we realized that we've got to be a little more balanced in how we go out there and do that.
I think, Nate, if Stephon Diggs can get back out on the field, that would help us become more explosive in the passing game, because this just in, he's pretty good.
Yeah, it certainly wouldn't hurt us. You look at the few games he played leading up to the game at Detroit where he sat out, putting up crazy numbers.
Back-to-back 13 catch games.
Yeah. I mean, lots of receptions, lots of action in the passing game that wasn't there against Detroit.
It would definitely help. Also, it would be nice to have Berger and Searles back. This is the Dallas defense that gave up 449 yards passing and sacked or intercepted Kirk Cousins zero times on 53 attempts. So a defense that has given up production in the passing game in the past. That does not mean that the Vikings will be able to do the same, but it does mean that it can be done on this defense. Mike Zimmer has been very complimentary of Dallas's defense this week, saying they play hard, they play aggressive, they play fast. And so this is certainly not an opponent the Vikings offense is overlooking, but it's one we've seen other teams have some production on. So we'll see if the Vikings can duplicate that on Thursday night. Lastly, when you look at Dallas and kind of the narrative around that team here so far, 11 games into their season, it's been their rookies. Dak Prescott, rookie quarterback, Ezekiel Elliott, rookie running back. The stats are gaudy, and I'm not going to go through all of them right now other than to tell you that Ezekiel Elliott leads the NFL in rushing yards, rushing attempts, and he's second in rushing touchdowns. And Dak Prescott is efficient. He's reliable. He doesn't turn the ball over. His touchdown to interception ratio is 18-2, which is good for anybody and certainly good for a rookie quarterback going through things for the first time. I mean, let's just remember Peyton Manning, who became arguably the best quarterback to ever play the game. I don't think he is unquestionably the best, but I think if you have a conversation about who is the best of all time, he would be in that discussion. His first season, the Colts went 3-13, and he threw like 29 interceptions. Or 20.
So far, Dak looking a little bit better than that.
Yeah, so I mean, you have to give Dak a lot of credit. And this is also not a Cowboys team that you would say, yeah, their defense is winning them a bunch of games and the offense just has to take care of the ball. No, the offense is leading the way, and Dak Prescott touches the football in every snap, so got to give him a ton of credit. Can the Vikings rein in these Dallas rookies? That will be a big thing to watch on Thursday night when these two teams meet at US Bank Stadium.
Speaking of Thursday night,
yeah,
that brings us to our question of the week.
Okay, what do you got?
It's been sort of a hot topic, a little bit behind the scenes, but a topic that's kind of growing a little bit, is whether the NFL should continue playing Thursday night football games.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I don't think we've reached a saturation point of the NFL in America. So I certainly understand why they want to put games on Thursday night. They don't put them on Friday night because they don't want to interfere with high school football. And they try and stay away from Saturdays until the college regular season is over. So the options are Sunday and Monday, and now they've added Thursday, obviously, for the last several seasons. And I love it because I love watching NFL football. So I watch every Thursday night. It doesn't matter what the matchup is. I sit down and I watch it. It is appointment viewing for me. But maybe we're a little oversensitive to this because of all the injuries we've gone through. And Nate, being inside the ropes the way we are, we know it's hard to get players ready for Sunday games when you get to this point in the season, much less trying to get them ready for Thursday. That's very difficult. And we saw that last week against the Lions when Stephon Diggs wasn't able to play. I mean, there's a shot that Stephon Diggs and Terrence Newman play in that game against Detroit if the game would have been on a Sunday, but it wasn't. So maybe we're a little sensitive to this because of the injury problems we've had. But I think there are resolutions to this. What about constructing the Thursday schedule so that the teams that play on a given Thursday night had a bye the week before?
Sort of go along with the London game, kind of.
Yes.
The idea of it.
Exactly. Where you have a bye week after your London game, but for Thursday night football, you have a bye week before your Thursday game. Thoughts on that? I mean, I know that would make it more difficult for the schedule makers, but they already have a difficult task. I don't know what kind of wrinkle this would add to it, but I do know it would solve a lot of people's worries about Thursday night football with the injuries and the player safety and all of that. I think it would increase the quality of play because you'd have more players healthy and available. So that's one possible solution to Thursday night football. I believe the contract that the league has with the broadcast networks for Thursday night football expires in 2017 after that season. So this will be, as you said, Nate, this will be a talker in the NFL here for the foreseeable future. People are going to talk about this. And I think Thanksgiving Day football, which is obviously on a Thursday, is great. And even if they do away with Thursday night football, which I don't think they will or should, even if they did that, I still think those games would be played on Thanksgiving, and that's cool. Dallas and Detroit do a great job of hosting it. We got to take part in it for the first time, and other than losing the game, it was a good experience. But just one possible solution to Thursday Night Football, give teams a bye the week before they play on Thursday.
And if for some reason the NFL decides to go away from those Thursday night games, they won't go down without swinging. I mean,
right.
You know, they've tried things like Color Rush.
That's right.
They've worked with Twitter to stream games on Twitter on Thursday nights, along with NBC and CBS and things like that, and NFL Network, of course. But so they're trying to make it different and make it appeal to as many people as they can.
And they do have player safety and team logistics in mind because they try to reduce travel time for these games. They try and make them division matchups. They try and make them between teams that are in the same time zones. I mean, if you look at Thursday Night Football, there's a lot of division games where the teams are familiar with their opponents, so the short week of prep doesn't hurt them as much as it would if they were playing a team they don't play every year. And usually if you're playing a division game, the travel time is shorter for the road team. So the league is working with the teams and doing a good job on top of the marketing initiatives that you mentioned. We're just saying this is one idea that you could take into account, is giving teams a bye the week before they play on Thursday night. And if you did that, maybe that takes away your inclination to make it division games and short travel schedules. You know, if you're giving them a week off before, you might feel a little more able to make it a coast-to-coast game or a non-division game. So just one idea.
One guy that's getting ready to play on Thursday night.
Yes.
For the Vikings.
Yes.
One of our players.
Well, there should be 53 of them.
One of those.
Okay, yeah.
Is one we should be talking about more, and that's Kyle Rudolph.
Yes.
Why should we be talking about Kyle? I mean, I think we're already talking about him a decent amount. He's
probably
having a good season.
He is.
Definitely has become a good red zone target for the Vikings. So why should we be talking more about Kyle?
He's on the precipice of team history is why.
That's a good reason.
Yeah, his next touchdown reception will tie him with Steve Jordan for most all-time by a Vikings tight end. It will be his 28th career touchdown catch. That's the record that Steve Jordan holds. 28 touchdown receptions is the most all-time by a Vikings tight end. Rudy is at 27 right now. His next one will tie Steve Jordan, and his next one after that will make Kyle the record holder. Now, Kyle already tied Steve Jordan against the Arizona Cardinals, but that one was taken away because of a penalty on an offensive lineman. So he'll have to tie him again and then surpass him. But Kyle Rudolph is on the precipice of team history. It will be fun to watch him do that. Rudy, 48 catches and 5 touchdowns this season. Those 5 touchdowns tie him for second among all tight ends this year. Delanie Walker leads the NFL in tight end receiving touchdowns with 6. So our guy Rudy is indeed having a good year.
3 threats when Dallas comes to town. We'll start off with the Cowboys running game. We talked about Zeke and Dak to an extent already a little bit, but what do the Vikings have to do to stop the Cowboys running game?
Probably numbers will help. You know, you don't rely on stopping it with only a 7-man front. I think sometimes you run blitz and you stop it with numbers. Other times you got to make sure you're schematically sound and you know, you're disciplined. They use a lot of misdirection, and their scheme is really good. Plus, as Mike Zimmer said, they have the best offensive line in football with the best offensive lineman in football, left tackle Tyron Smith. So lots of talent and size up there for the Cowboys offensive line. And then, of course, you have Ezekiel Elliott, who is as good as any running back has been this year. This is a big-time threat for the Vikings because if the Cowboys get their running game going, it makes them less predictable and it makes the passing game that much better. And I would much rather face Dak Prescott in pass predictable situations than in situations where we don't know if they're running or passing.
One of the guys he's going to be looking to pass to is Dez Bryant, our second threat, the guy on the outside.
Yeah, and I think it's good that he's on here because so much talk has been about Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott. Let's not forget about Dez Bryant. His numbers are not big yet this year, but he's missed a bunch of games. Now he's back, and I think he's obviously going to be rounding into form the more games he plays. And so he's a guy we can't forget about. He wears jersey number 88, and I would imagine you'll see Vikings jersey number 29 on number 88 a fair amount, and that is a fun matchup to watch.
The third threat is starting slow. Mm-hmm. Why would starting slow be an issue for the Vikings?
Because I think Dallas is... it's unlikely that both of these things happen to Dallas. They start slow, and they don't finish strong. Dallas is probably going to either start fast or finish strong or do both. The reason that we can be confident they'll probably do that is because they've won 10 of 11 games.
Right.
So we'll leave room for Mike Zimmer and his defense to do a number on Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, and this Cowboys offense. That is certainly possible. We've seen this defense hold other offenses who are also impressive to low point totals. In fact, the Vikings are at like 17 points per game allowed, which is tops in the league. So, but I think if the Vikings offensively start slow, I think there's a good shot that our defense won't be playing with a lead. And if Dallas does not start fast, if they do start slow, I think eventually they will pick it up. So the Vikings starting slow would not be good. We want to start fast, we want to put points on the board, and we want to try and get our defense on the field with a lead, because then I think the Vikings can be more creative defensively.
All right, we'll wrap it up with some fan mail.
Okay.
This one is from Lance. Lance says, I'm a lifelong fan of the Vikings. I've never been as optimistic and emotionally invested as I have this year. After 45-plus years of being disappointed year after year, I find myself in the midst of the same old disappointment. Oh, I understand, man. We've had more than our share of injuries, so it's not just a blame game. But you're always able to put an optimistic spin on the negative aspects of the season. Please help us all by explaining how we should realistically expect to make the playoffs this year, because I don't see it happening, says Lance. Lance wants a little help.
We got to throw Lance a lifeline here.
Yeah.
Hang on, bud. Well, you're 6-5, Lance. That's what your team's record is right now. And that puts you right in the middle of the hunt when it comes to the NFC playoff picture. Yes, it leaves you outside looking in for the time being, but you are in the hunt. And let's remember, there are 5 games to go. And even if you come out on the wrong end of Thursday night, you still have a shot with 4 games to go to get to 10 wins. And I think 10 wins is a number you should have in your mind, because if the Vikings get to 10 wins, I think it's more probable than not that they will make the playoffs. So that's looking way down the road. Coach Zimmer wants us to focus on one game at a time. And so for this week, that's the Dallas Cowboys. A win this week would be monstrous for the Vikings. But even without a win this week, they are still in the hunt. They would be 6-6, 500 with four games to go. Just think back to 2012. The Vikings were 6-6 with four games to go. They won the last four and got into the playoffs. I think this Vikings team is better than that Vikings team, so I'm not ruling this squad out yet at all. Basically with five games to go, you know, if you look at it in terms of a football game, you're not even in the fourth quarter yet. So would you ever give up on a close game at the end of the third quarter? No, you wouldn't. You would let that thing play out, and that's what you have to do with the Vikings season.
All right. Dalton says, we've seen so many already. Do you think there will be a lot more different types of wildcat plays to come in the Vikings playbook? I love watching the Vikings and the wildcat.
I do too. Do you like the wildcat?
Yeah. We haven't had any home runs mm-hmm. with it, but it's worked.
I think it's creative. I think it's creative, and I think we can do a lot of different things off of it. I like the fake jet sweeps to Cordero. Jerick McKinnon keeps it. I like handing it to Cordero. And so I think we'll see some more stuff. I mean, who knows? Maybe McKinnon will throw a pass. I don't know. But Bradford can get a pass out of it, which he got last week or 2 weeks ago against Arizona. So I like it. I think we've gotten some of our longer runs in a game from the wildcat formation, and I don't think it should be the primary thing we use, but I love mixing it in, and I think we'll continue to do it. So the answer, Dalton, is yes.
Finally, Antonio says, do you think it's time for Bradford to throw longer passes?
Yeah, this is what we talked about earlier. Yep. People are going to want to see this on Thursday night, and I think you will, yes. And I think Diggs being back, assuming he is going to help that. He's probably our best threat when it comes to the deep ball, and I know people want to see more of Treadwell, and I'm certainly not opposed to that, and I think he's an option in those types of routes as well, especially with his size and ability to go up and get the ball. So, yeah, I think it is time. Remember, though, Bradford needs time for it to be time to throw longer passes. You have to protect him. You need receivers to get open, and the coverage has to dictate that that's where you throw the ball. So, but the short answer is, yeah, I do think it's time. I'd love to see it. It's an important element to have in a passing attack, and certainly Bradford is capable of throwing a nice long ball. We've seen him do it to Charles Johnson and to Adam Thielen and to Stephon Diggs already this year. So let's see some more of it. That would really help open things up for the Vikings offense.
Final questions for me. Do you have your purple suit ready for the game tonight?
Oh, I should.
You should?
Do you know where I can find one?
I might have an idea. Talk to Paul Allen. I think he might know a guy.
I think a between the lines victory high five would look much better if one of us had a purple suit on.
I think you're right.
That would be a lot of fun.
We'll see.
Yeah, let's hope it happens. That's it for this edition of the Wobcast. We're done. The Vikings play on Thursday night against the Dallas Cowboys. Make sure you catch the game, and then make sure you catch our coverage after it, which includes the Between the Lines post-game report, always brought to you by Gatorade, and always much more fun when it includes a victory high five between yours truly and voice of the Vikings, Paul Allen. On behalf of Wobcast producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobshall. Hope you enjoy the game on Thursday, and we'll talk to you next week. So, yeah, I start with